busy, so it's Katie on the line.
Oh, great. Thanks, Katie, for dialing in. And Quinnell Search and Rescue.
You have both Gerald Chute and Bob Zimmerman, I believe.
Great.
Also here for communications as well.
Great. Thank you both. And do we have BC Hydro on the line?
Yes, you got Brian Ward, Senior Field Manager acting for Stacey Sinclair.
Great. Thank you, Brian. And tell us, Joel Gillen, were you able to dial in? Anybody on the line from TELUS? All right. And I just want to go back to BC Emergency Health Services. Anybody on the line? Okay, I know they did accept the invite, but I'm actually just going to mute you for a minute, and I'm going to give BC Ambulance a quick call. Just one moment.
BC Ambulance is online. It's Kevin Crawford, Unit Chief.
Great. Thanks so much, Kevin.
My apologies for the delay.
Oh, no worries. Okay, Emergency Management BC is just myself today. So this call is it's a follow-up call to our emergency services call that we held last week, and we wanted to include utilities as well in this call, which is why we had invited BC Hydro as well as TELUS, and we wanted to provide the CRD to, you know, just give us an update to all agencies and just advise us on the current situation with the residents. So I think at this time, who's speaking on behalf of the CRD? Is it Stuart?
All right, Debbie, we're going to throw Dave under the bus because he's been dealing with the residents here primarily for the ESS side.
Okay, sounds good. So we'll turn it over to Dave Dixon from Caribou Regional District.
Good morning, everyone. Quick update, five families have, we've registered them. We have one family that's out in commercial accommodation. We're likely looking at a very long term. Being out, they have a hobby farm. We're looking for accommodation. We've done a business plan up to Debbie, and she has forwarded on, so we're waiting for a response from government. We've had one other family call and ask a number of questions, but no follow-up from them. So we'll be asking for an extension. I'll talk with Stuart and Debbie today. It's due Monday morning. That's it. Thanks.
Okay. Thanks for that, Dave. Yeah, and as you said, that's gone up to our executive, and I'm hoping to hear something back today. If I don't, what we'll have to do is we'll look at a similar extension to what we provided this week, Dave, and probably another 7 day in commercial lodging. I'm hoping that I'll hear something today, but no guarantee on that. Was there anybody else from CRD that had any update or anything they wanted to share?
This is Stephanie at the CRD. I just want to mention we had issued a letter to the residents after they received a letter from Ministry of Transportation about the road as a follow-up piece. And also we're maintaining communication with the households to supplement Dave's conversation about housing, just about other issues that may be arising. And they have a consistent contact in here, it's Mike, as a direct phone line and person that they're talking to as well.
Great. Thank you for that, Stephanie. That's helpful. Do we know if the residents are using that road lately and or regularly, I should say, daily? Are they grading it?
From our standpoint, we're not too sure. We haven't gone out to check, so we'd have to ask the residents what they're doing.
Okay, and then something else that had come up on our call last week, and I'm not sure if it was Michelle Schilling from Modi that had brought it up, the question around if if somebody is traveling on a, you know, Modi road that has been closed and they're in an accident, is their insurance still valid? Did anybody pass that on to the residents as something for them to follow up on?
Debbie, being an ex-ICBC employee, I contacted one of my colleagues who works in Prince George, and yes, there would be coverage as long as they have own damage coverage on their vehicle. If it was a hit and run, meaning their car was parked or something there, then there wouldn't be. But that is sort of unofficial off the line, and if we likely would be sage to ask for a written report or something so we'd have it from ICBC.
Okay, that's good to know. Thanks for that, Dave. And then something else I'd wanted to follow up on, Stephanie, I think it was you I was talking to either late last week or early this week. I think you were meeting with one of the helicopter companies to talk about heli landing pads in community.
Stephanie and I both went out, spoke with one of the helicopter companies. We looked at a topographical map, and there's tons of places to land a chopper there if need be. It's nothing but fields, so fantastic for flights.
Okay.
We had also asked, do they need to maintain a specific site? Does it need to be cleared? What kind of maintenance would it need? And essentially, we were told no, that due to the, as Stuart has said, due to the geography of the area, there are a lot of options, and so that people don't need to be maintaining a specific spot.
Okay, thank you. All right, are there questions for the Caribou Regional District?
Bob Zimmerman here from Quinnell Search and Rescue. We had a director's meeting last night. So we had a couple of things that were brought up. Apparently there's possibly another private land access where we come from the DJ Furlington farm through the culvert under Highway 97, and there's a drivable trail that takes you all the way down to the river, which puts you at the south end of the fields for the people in that area we're talking about as a possibility. And the other question was raised is whether or not we might even, what would river access be like if we actually were able to get a river boat down there to extricate anybody, as to what the riverbank is like? Is there a spot where we can load?
Well, from the CRD standpoint, we know there's trails that lead in from both sides that can be accessed with a UTV, but we have not ground truthed those. I believe Modi has actually had people walk those routes and would be better able to speak to that. As for water rescue, it just depends how thick the water gets over the next couple of weeks here.
Thank you.
Todd, are you able to speak to Bob Zimmerman's question about private land access?
Yeah, we're aware of a trail that comes off of Anoldus Road, which is junctions with Edwards Road within the community of Kersley there. At the end of the cul-de-sac on Anoldus, there is a right-of-way dedication that takes you to the edge of private property that in turn will, there's a series of switchbacks within the parcel that will take you down into the valley there. There are some grades there that I understand are about 11 to 16%. It's purely a trail. It would not be suitable for vehicular access, and it's not maintained by anybody at this point. So, and it is over private property, but it does sound like there is some form of rudimentary land access should there be a need to get in there with some kind of terrain vehicle.
Yeah, it's Bob Zimmerman here from Quinnell Search and Rescue again. Yeah, one of our vice president actually knows the residents from DJ Furlington Farm and has used their road system down to the river with previous hunting trips in the past, where you can actually drive his pickup truck right down to the Fraser River, which again would be at the south end of everybody's area here for Kersley Dale Landing Road. So he was going to reach out again, talk to that owner of that road or trail or property, and just see whether or not search and rescue could use that as an access point if required.
It's Brian. Excuse me. It's Brian from BC Hydro. Is there any way we could have some sort of map overlay of this route if it becomes something that we could use in case of emergency?
Yeah, Bob here again. If he gets permission for this, I'm going to send him in with a GPS so we can track it and then do up a map for it.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, before we move on, are there any other questions for the CRD?
CRD, back to Mr. Zimmerman there. If you guys are going to go through with the GPS and map it out, would you be able to send that GPS data to us so we could actually plot those out on a map as well too, please?
Yeah, we'll see what system we can use that'll work for you. Anyway, it'll be by... We'll send you something from GPS tracking. Yes.
Yeah, even if you're
also, while I have you on the line, thank you very much for the contact list. But I was wondering whether or not the map that we have could show where each of the residents are, which one of those residents or where those people live on the map, so we have a definite location for a particular family.
Yeah, we can definitely do a landowner's map for that.
Okay, thank you.
And Stuart, if you just want to send that on to me, then I can circulate it out to everyone on the call.
Well, I'm sure we can find it in our heart to do that for you.
All righty. Thank you.
And Bob here, we'll do the same for the GPS end of things in case somebody else needs that.
Okay, great. Thanks, Bob. Any other questions for CRD? Okay, Todd, can I turn it over to you? Do you have any updates from Modi's end?
Nothing of significance, Debbie. As everybody's aware, the road is officially closed, and we're just starting the long-term work of planning and route option analysis for alternate access into the into that community there. It's going to be a long-term plan here. The goal is to establish some kind of options that we can ground truth in the spring with the intent that hopefully we can commence construction in early summer. Short of that, that's kind of what our focus is right now.
Okay, thanks, Todd. Questions for Modi? Okay, no questions for Todd. All right. I think we'll just go through our list then, and I'll start with Kevin from the Emergency Health Services. Kevin, do you have any questions or comments?
No. So currently, as of December 1st, we will have a dedicated helicopter that flies out of Prince George, if the need may be. To respond in that direction. So that's something that people might find valuable. And otherwise, our dispatch centers have been made aware that this is a SAR initiation response. So we will be staged for the most part for these residents, and we'll be heavily depending upon SAR to extricate these people to us.
Okay, thanks, Kevin. So just that's good news that you'll have a dedicated resource here out of Prince George. So is that something that is that resource going to be here long term, or do you know?
Currently, it's looking at being here long term. Again, unfortunately, it'll be based on availability, weather conditions. It will be a machine that is crewed by two pilots, so giving it the ability to perform more so than what a single pilot can do. And again, for a medical response, that would probably be our best option. Unfortunately, though, again, with things being what they are, availability will be the one question. So a backup resource would definitely be a worthwhile thing to look into.
Okay, great. Thanks for that.
Bob Zimmerman interrupting again briefly here. Mm-hmm. For EHS evacuation, I guess the option would be there for the resident themselves to self-extricate up to the top end of Kerseydale Landing Road, and that's where they could be an ambulance if they were able to transport the person.
If that's possible, that would be probably the most easiest access or easiest way to deliver care. But again, all depends on what the issue is at hand.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Anyone else have questions or comments for BC Ambulance? Okay, we'll move to RCMP.
Not much new from our side since the last meeting. Our members are well aware the road is closed, and the discussions have been had as to a police response down in that area, if there was one. How we're going to go about that. We'll always find a way in, whether that be by foot, by helicopter, or snowmobile, or UTV. The membership's aware, and the dispatchers are aware as well. We're kind of in the same boat as BC Ambulance. But if there's a police emergency down there, we will get there. Might take some time, but we'll get there.
All right, thanks for that. Any questions for the RCMP? All right, Joel from TELUS, were you able to dial in?
I just got a contact with him on through text. He's going to try and dial in right now as soon as I give him the number.
Okay, I wonder if he missed in the original invite.
Yeah, he lost it apparently, so I'll get
Okay, no problem. Thanks, Gerald. So while we're waiting for TELUS, let's move to BC Hydro. Brian.
Hi there, thanks. We had local crews walk this line. Fortunately, we look back through some history. We haven't had a lot of trouble, and none in the last 2 years. So currently the line is in good shape. I'm not concerned about the slide affecting it. Only problem we'll have is if there's normal routine trouble, like a windstorm or an event. We're, again, down to UTVs and snowmobiles. We can't take heavies down there to fix, so there could be some lengthy outages depending on the time of the day and the nature of the outage. So fingers crossed, we'll hope for some good weather. The one issue I do want to flesh out, is there generation down there? Do these customers have generators in case it is a lengthy outage? And for crew safety, when those generators are running and we go in there to, you know, if we have an issue and we want to put the power back on, it does create a hazard for our crews with backfeed. So it'd be nice to know who's got generation if they're prepared. Otherwise, our concern always is it could be lengthy outages depending on what happens. If this turns into a landslide event, we could lose poles. In which case it could be days or, you know, quite some time before we find an alternate route to put the power line back up, if we can even do that. So right now I'm pretty confident our line is secure. Just planning for those routine kind of trouble outages. Those are the things that I don't think will be too bad. They may be up to a 10 or 12 hour outage versus if we can get a truck down, it would be quite short. So as long as the residents are prepared, you know, it could be, you know, up to a day to get a crew in there, look, and restore power if it's normal trouble.
Okay, thanks, Brian. Stuart, are you able to provide Brian, you know, with that, with the information? Do you have any idea, you know, who has generators out there if you don't know or able to do an outreach to the residents?
Well, we're pretty sure a number of them do have generators. It'll be a fuel issue if it's like a 12 or 24 hour outage, but we will follow up on that, and then we can get that information out to you.
Okay. And if, like I said, if we have normal, like a wind event or a snow event, we have outages, we'll get in, assess it, and then have an idea of how long that restoration will take. So hopefully we can keep everybody informed if something does happen. But they need to be prepared for lengthy outages.
Okay, thank you for that, Brian. Are there any questions for BC Hydro? Okay, I just want to do a check-in with TELUS. Joel, were you able to dial in?
Yes, I was. Sorry about that, folks.
Hey, no problem. Glad to have you on the call. We're just kind of, you know, going through our list of attendees and asking, giving everybody an opportunity to provide, you know, an update or ask any questions. So sorry to put you on the spot, but.
Go for it. Go for it.
Yeah. Joel, do you have, I'm not sure if you have any questions or anything you can update us on from TELUS's side.
Okay. Again, I'm just catching up. Sorry, folks. I was on holidays and somehow my invite got lost here. But it's my understanding that 4 of the 5 families are staying down there. Is that correct?
Yeah. One family has come out. There may be another as well.
Mm-hmm. Okay. From our perspective, I know that our pole lead isn't close to that road, so we should be okay that way. But I don't have a lot more to add or very many questions. Like, was it really any questions for me around that?
Any questions for Joel from TELUS?
And it's going to be a while before the road is repaired. Is that my understanding?
Yeah, it is actually. Yeah. We have Modi on the call, Todd Hubner, and you know it would be, you know, 6 to 9 months.
Yeah.
But they're, you know, this morning that, you know, they're looking at alternate access options or alternate route options as well.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, Todd, I don't know if you have anything else that you want to add to that.
One of the things we're also looking at is the current alignment. We're not even certain that it's repairable. So to your point,
right.
we're looking at alternate alignments with the long-term plan, that whatever we do construct in there is for the long-term. We don't want to put in some kind of rudimentary access and be having the same discussion next year this time. So.
Right, that makes sense. Okay. And from my perspective as well, folks on the call, if things were to continue sliding back to a point where it did take our pole lead out, I need to confirm whether or not there's cell service down in that area. I'm not 100% positive on that. I did ask a technician a couple days ago, and he wasn't sure, but I can find out so we don't run into a community isolation situation.
Stephanie or Stuart, are you able to answer that?
Yeah, they do have cell service down there.
Awesome. Thank you.
No problem.
Joel, did you have any other questions?
No, I don't. Thank you.
Okay, great. Any questions for TELUS? All right. So just moving down the line here, Canal Search and Rescue. Bob, did you have anything else that you wanted to add or any other questions?
No, I believe I've asked everything that I was curious about, and we'll try and get that information to you as soon as we can, reference the GPSing.
Okay, that's great. Thank you. And I had also invited Ministry of Agriculture to today's call. Katie, was there anything that you wanted to share with us, any updates, or did you have any questions?
I don't have any updates, but I think there was one question just around, I think it was the family that has come out, that they had some animals, and we're potentially looking at relocating them and whether that had occurred or not.
Not at this time.
Okay.
Yeah, Katie, one of the options that they were looking at was there was a farm that they potentially could rent. We're not sure if that would be, you know, approved through emergency support services. And Dave, correct me if I'm wrong, but I'm assuming that if it turns out that they are able to rent that, of course the animals will be moved there, but if not, they have a plan in place whereby the husband was planning to go in every other day or something to feed the animals. Is that right?
Yes. They're hoping for the farm. They would bring everything but, I believe, 7 cattle. They have sheep, and the children are all 4-H involved. They're concerned about predators with their sheep, and so it's a challenge. We're sort of waiting to see what we learn from Victoria, and then we'll have to do some considerations. I have chatted with Reg Stewart from, I believe, Agriculture, and he's willing to offer help, too, if in time when the time comes. If we put them in a home in Quesnel, then there will be, what do we do with some of these livestock? So it'll be a new chapter to and an opportunity to look at.
Okay, thanks for that, Dave. Dave, I'm just curious, what do they have for animals? So you had said they have seven cows. How many sheep do they have, and what other livestock do they have?
Chickens, ducks, rabbits. I'm not sure how many sheep Kelly has. I think I need to get that inventory, and I'm sure I will be talking to him today, so I will get that detailed inventory and share it with you and Agriculture.
Okay, that would be great. And just one other question on that then. Do they have the means to transport those animals from A to B?
The small critters, I don't think, I don't know what Kelly has to move his cattle, and he was planning to leave his cattle down there. He has round bales that last for a period of time, so he would go in as often as he needs to see that. Plus, their house is heated by pellets, so he would have to go in, I think he said 4 to 5 days intervals to make sure that the house is well and the cows were had adequate feed.
Okay, thanks, Dave. Katie, did you have any more questions?
No, that's helpful to know. That's more animals than I thought there was for that family. So let's change things a little bit.
Okay. Now, is there anybody else on the call that you know, has any information that they'd like to share or ask a question? All right, Stuart, what are your thoughts on another call? We could schedule another call next Friday at the same time if there is an appetite for it.
Yeah, I think next Friday should work out for us.
Okay. All right, so we've got a few follow-ups. Quesnel SAR is going to provide any GIS mapping that they have. CRD is also going to provide some mapping and do a bit of follow-up on the generators. Anything that you need circulated to the group, please send it my way, and I'll ensure that everyone has that information. And Dave Dixon, you're going to find out, kind of nail down what the family has for animals and pass that on to Katie and myself. And I'm not sure, I'm just looking, doing a quick check here to see if I have missed any other action items. I don't believe so. Anybody on the call that is aware of, was there another action item that we discussed that I didn't mention?
Yeah, it's just Brian from BC Hydro. Can you ask if the residents have generation?
Yeah, I think, Stuart, you were going to follow up on that, weren't you?
You betcha.
Okay, thank you.
Awesome. Okay. All right. If there's no other comments or questions, we'll close the call for today, and I'll send out an invitation for next Friday. And feel free to, you know, if there's somebody within your organization that should be on the call, you know, please feel free to pass that on within your organization. We just ask that you don't send the invite outside of your organization without checking in with us, just to ensure we've got, you know, the right group of people on the call. And I think that's it for me. So thanks everyone for taking the time to dial in. Much appreciated.
Thank you.
Thanks, Deb.
Thanks, Debbie.
Thanks, Debbie.
Thanks, Deb.